Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Letag. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get notebook, paper, and a pen for taking notes in this show. First, let's look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. From an article in the Washington Post Foreign Service, Emily Wax speaks about the economy faltering. Debt collectors hear sobering stories from the land of plenty. And this is from India. With flowing hot pink Indian suit, jangly silver bangles, and a perky voice, Bhumika Chaturvedi, 24, doesn't fit the stereotype of a thuggish, heard-it-all debt collector. But lately, she has no problem making American debtors cry. For the past 3 years, Chaturvedi has been a top collection agent at her call center, phoning hundreds of Americans a day and politely asking them to pay up. As the U.S. financial crisis plunges Americans into debt, her business is one of the fastest-growing sectors in Indian outsourcing. It is also one of the few sectors of outsourcing in India that is still hiring aggressively. Sitting in a narrow cubicle, her headset switched on, Chaturvedi listens every night to increasingly disturbing tales of woe from the other side of the globe. "My mortgage payments are just too high, honey. I just can't make the payment this month," a weeping woman with a southern accent recently told her in response to a call for a $200 credit card payment. "I'm sure you all heard about the credit crunch and gas price. I'm flat broke." "Ma'am, I'm here to help you," Chaturvedi calmly said. "Ma'am, maybe you could make a small payment, $100 or $50, anything that you can." Few places in India absorb and imitate American culture as much as call centers, where ambitious young Indians with fake American accents and American noms de phone spend hours calling people in Indiana or Maine to help navigate software glitches, plan vacations, or sell products. The subculture of call centers tends to foster a cult of America, an over-the-top fantasy where hopes and dreams are easily accomplished by people who live in a brand-name wonderland of high-paying jobs, big houses, and luxury getaways. But collection agents at this call center outside New Delhi are starting to see the flip side of that vision. A country hobbled by debt and filled with people scared of losing their jobs, their houses, and their cars. Lately, 25-year-old Americans are telling me that they are declaring themselves bankrupt, said Chaturvedi, raising her eyebrows in shock. "These days, the situation is so emotional, so fragile. We have to have so much empathy and patience. It's like people are totally drowning," said Omkar Gajgil, 24, who goes by the alias Richard Rudy and was a math major in college. He is brainy and considered the office expert on the intricacies of debt collection. "There has just been years of overspending and now the crash." In the past, debt-saddled customers were often annoyed by Chaturvedi's calls from the open-air office at Aegis BPO Services, but now they seem depressed, defeated. "Even the men sob into the phone," several agents said. Under the pseudonym Carol Miller, Chaturvedi's ability to deftly work around the standard line, "The check is in the mail," is now being challenged by clients throwing out new responses. "How do you expect me to pay? This is the worst crisis since the Great Depression." Chaturvedi said she has never seen it so bad. Many of the young employees say they are flabbergasted at just how widespread the financial ruin appears to be. Talking to so many anguished Americans has taught these agents an important lesson. Live within your means. Agents with credit cards are vowing to pay them off every month, even during the upcoming holiday shopping season when malls feature neon signs advertising flat-screen TVs and air conditioners. Managers of this call center say they have recently added a seminar on the economic crisis with PowerPoint slides that graph the financial mess as well as updates on other events that could affect the ability of U.S. debtors to pay their bills, including natural disasters such as Hurricane Ike. The presentation is intended to enable collection agents to bond with their clients and possibly deflect their excuses. Since the crisis began, agents have seen call times shoot up dramatically because late payers often want to talk more. More callers have moved, more phones have been disconnected. Clients have started bargaining with agents for discounts on their debts as if they were haggling at an Indian vegetable market, said Rohit Chug, Assistant Vice President of Training for Aegis. India handles an estimated $16 billion, or about 5% of delinquent U.S. accounts. More complicated health insurance bills and mortgage payments are still largely handled inside the United States, industry executives say. But the debt collection business will continue to grow as debt rises and companies look to cut costs. Aegis, which handles nearly a fourth of debt collection to cut costs, outsourced from the United States, is undergoing a rapid expansion. The company is erecting a second office building for 5,000 employees, many of them to be hired over the next few years. Most employees are college-educated and in their 20s. They earn about $5,000 a year, a competitive starting salary in India, but less than a fourth of what their American counterparts make. Inside the Aegis call center, there is a clean, colorful cafeteria with round tables and darts to relieve stress. Because New Delhi is about 10 hours ahead of the eastern United States, there is an espresso machine and candy counter to keep the young workers awake while calling through India's night. Aparoop Singhgupta, Global Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Aegis, encourages his debt collectors to use a hospital Indian touch, meaning less arm twisting and more emotional therapy. "This business is a performing art," Singhgupta said. "We are part therapists because the core of this issue is that every human being wants to be honorable in life. We don't just push someone into a bad situation. We try to create a real solution." Decorating the office are dozens of yellow smiley faces with the words, "Happy people, happy customers, happy investors," along with other posters that read, "Connect and collect." "How is the car running?" asked Parul Malhotra, 25, goes by the alias Michelle Jones. "It's a real piece of junk," the customer shot back, his voice registering more depression than anger. "It was in the shop, the electric's all messed up, and I have no money now. Plus, we have an illness in the family. Times are hard. I wish for everyone a speedy recovery," said Malhotra, trying to be cheerful. After a pause, she got back to business. "But let's try to work out a payment." So that's the story about debt collection from India, to which many American lenders have outsourced their debt collection contracts. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and a Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now let's move ahead to the educational section of the show. And we're going to start with a recap of some points from last week. And as always, I want to make an important credit. The thoughts, ideas, and examples used in this program are from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors. I recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. You can also get a recap of these shows at www.kruufm.com under the archives Life and Debt. The critical point that we were looking at last week is this idea of tapping into the equity of your home and the idea of that money there, the equity, just being part of your savings. And this may seem, from a strictly financial point of view, to be true, that you do have some savings in your home. But more importantly, the idea is that you have a roof over your head and a home, which is way beyond a financial concept. And once you get drawn into tapping into the equity in your home, in the current market, under the current financial circumstances, with the way all these exotic loans are made and how tricky and deceptive they are, you are really taking, even if that is considered savings, that money, and you're putting it at risk. But more fundamentally, you're also putting your home, your homestead, your roof over your head at risk, because inevitably you're going to be challenged to make those payments to keep that home. There is a lot of fancy talk out there about putting your equity to work for you by people who really essentially want to make money from you on your equity, and ultimately that means that that equity is going to be reduced in its value, if not totally lost, along with the rest of your homestead. So this is not just something that you should take lightly. It's a very, very serious concept. These home equity lines of credit, these refinancing packages where you're tapping into your home equity to get some money to do things like, for example, pay off your debt. You can't go into debt to pay off more debt. You are taking on more debt even though you're using your equity as a form of collateral for the new debt. The new debt actually has charges and costs and interest and all kinds of fees and traps and hazards associated with it that in fact are as bad as, if not worse, than what you've already had for your other debt. So it's not a wise idea at all. Very, very large red flag. What I concluded last week, and I think Elizabeth Warren's very much on the same page here, if you want to use the equity from your home, you should sell your house, take that money and buy a cheaper home, and then use the equity from your home as an aside, but in a cheaper home, and then that money becomes not debt, but savings, for which you can use it as a resource to deal with your other debt. We also discussed the reality that many of you may already have a home equity loan, second mortgage, junior mortgage, third mortgage even, or a home equity line of credit. In all of these cases, you need to treat these loans as if they were your first mortgage. You cannot go behind on them. You have to stay current. And you need to consider these loans in your bare necessities, the debt repayment for those in your bare necessities, that part of the accounting or the equation that we've structured here as the 50% of your net disposable income. And if you're way beyond that, then you have to, as we talked about in the past, rethink how you are living and how you have structured your homestead. Because these home debts, you have to be sure that you are paying 100% every month, no matter what. And then, of course, when it comes time and you actually have the finances to pay down mortgages, you're going to pay down your second mortgage first, because that's going to have a higher interest rate in the usual circumstances. The next thing we talked about were the tricks that are used to prevent you from getting out of debt. There are many, many helpers who pretend to look out for your best interests when they discover that you are in debt, but they are really looking out for their own personal profit, and you have to be quite careful of that, because the word debtor is sometimes written all over our face, and it is certainly written in our credit report, and these people can and do scope out our appearance and become our quote-unquote friend, but there's no friend about it at all. You can become a target for some very nasty scams that are going on out there. And for most of these things, and the challenge I have discovered as an attorney, is the fact that almost no programs, even though they are not scams and legitimate attempts to help you, are almost always not integrated programs. They're dealing with one limited value of debt, unsecured debt, credit card debt, the mortgage-only problem, in an isolation, and this is not a human reality for most of us. Our debt problems are unsecured, secured, car, house, credit cards, medical, all kinds of things all over the place, and it has to be an integrated program. So, for example, we see these advertisements for credit counseling, and it can sound so appealing because these people appear to be experts, and they are very, very intelligent, and have all the formulas and buzzwords for helping you out. And in some cases, there are good credit counselors, but there are so many bad ones that it's hard to separate the good guy from the bad guys until it is often too late. And it doesn't seem to matter that they are listed as not-for-profit companies or religious counseling agencies. In both of these categories, we also find many scam operations that are run by crooks. They have bogus nonprofit shells. They're funneling money to their owners, and they're hiding behind a false identity, trying to lure people with similar characteristics into their camp, in which a large amount of theft takes place. And also note that even if they seem to not be getting fees from you, they are often getting fees from big banks and credit card issuers, and they're looking out for the big corporations, not for you. And certainly are not going to give you the whole picture, the whole story about your situation, and are in many cases not going to give you the truth and the proper advice that you need. In fact, in many cases, they are forbidden to give you the advice you need because they cannot give you legal advice. And I know of cases where companies will fire an employee if they mention the word bankruptcy during a credit counseling session. So we have to be really, really careful. The nonprofit status is no guarantee of trustworthiness, and neither is no fee or low fee counseling. These groups and this area needs a lot more oversight and regulation, which does not yet exist. And in fact, I think Professor Warren is trying to spearhead some federal regulations and a regulatory agency to try to clean up this area. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Just to repeat some myths that we discussed last week, the top five myths about getting out of debt. Myth number one, debt consolidation can reduce your debts. The fact is, there are no shortcuts to getting your debt paid off. Myth number two, a not-for-profit credit counselor can be trusted to give you advice. Fact, many not-for-profit credit counselors steal your money and ruin your credit rating. Myth number three, tapping into your home equity is a smart way to pay off your credit cards. Fact, home equity loans put your home at risk. Myth number four, a credit repair kit or a FICO repair kit can improve your credit score. Fact, there are no quick fixes. The best way to improve your credit score is to pay your bills on time and in full. And finally, point five myth, so long as you make your payments, the interest on your credit card will stay the same from month to month. And the point of fact is credit card companies can increase your interest rate whenever they want, so watch your bill carefully. So some new points, debt consolidation in and of itself, this is a kind of help which is very, very commonly peddled by credit counselors, which we just discussed, and they often promise to roll your debts into one easy monthly payment. Yet in reality, it's really just an offering to lend you money to pay your debts, and this really violates the number one rule that we discussed. You can never borrow money to pay your way out of debts because there are really no shortcuts to paying what you owe. And consolidated debt has its own traps because there's no better interest rate that you would have gotten from this loan than shopping on your own. So they're claiming to lower your payments, yet of course they're still making a profit themselves, and they have three ways to make a profit. One is buried in the fine print in some of the contracts are extra points and fees that you pay upfront for the consolidation services. That's one. Two, of course, they can stretch out the payments forever and ever. So, in fact, the interest accrues and you're paying a lot more than you would have under the original loan that they're trying to help, or loans that they are trying to help and consolidate. And three, they often don't mention in the advertising that they are planning to take a second mortgage on your house, which is, as we've talked about, a terrible financial mistake that eventually could cost you your home. The sum total effect of all of this is really to keep you in debt longer, leave you paying a lot more interest than you have to, and possibly putting your house at risk. So the bottom line is that debt consolidators actually can leave you worse off than if you had never had a debt consolidator. It's better just to make the payments yourself, and in the long run, you will save money. The next point, the next area is the credit repair and FICO repair kits. I know I get these kinds of promos and advertisements in my junk mailbox every single day. These ads that promise to repair credit as if it was a broken car, and something that only an expert can safely repair, and they will make some promises, and I see this every single day, these bullet points. We can erase your bad credit, 100% guaranteed. We can remove bankruptcies, judgments, liens, and bad loans from your credit file forever. And we can create a new identity legally. And of course, that's a good way to end up in prison. And as Professor Warren says, these people are just selling another brand of snake oil. They are after your money and are readily available on the internet. Usually the only information they give you is information that you could have gotten yourself, a free credit report, some other information readily available on the internet. They also will take your name and email address and pass it along to credit counselors, probably sell it, and anyone else who might turn a profit from the difficulties you're going through. So the main point is that there are really no quick fixes for your credit score. It's generally a matter of paying your bills month in and month out. You yourself should check your credit report once a year at least, possibly twice a year, and of course before you make any major purchase like a car or a home, you should get that information and have it with you before you are getting a new loan. And we've discussed this at length in the past about the list of common errors on credit reports and the fact that you can correct most of those yourself. And of course, if there is a serious problem, that you need to seek out legal counseling and advice. But the conclusion here is that credit repair folks are a waste of time and money. So just forget about them. The best advice is not to worry about your credit score. Keep it out of your mind. Put your attention and focus and efforts into paying off your debts and not to be consumed with worrying about your credit score. Another unfortunate and nefarious practice is the fee hike, which happens with credit cards. We see, and we've discussed this in the caveat emptor portion of our shows in the past, that in fact credit card contracts are what lawyers call illusory contracts because they have fine print in them that gives them the right to change the interest rate whenever they want to, and that's even after you borrow the money. Of course, as lawyers, we know this isn't fair, it isn't right, and at least in our opinion, it shouldn't even be legal, but unfortunately, right now, it is considered legal. And so you can have a certain credit card interest rate at, let's say, 10% this month. And when the next bill arrives, it may not be 10% anymore. It could be much more. And you need to keep your guard up. You never should just presume that it's going to stay the same, even if you're making all your payments on time. You have to check, and you have to double check. You have to make sure that the interest rate is consistent and unchanged. And if it jumps unexpectedly, keep your eyes open, call that credit card company and complain. What they often do is count on people to really just overlook the increase. And if you call and complain, most times they're willing to roll back the rate hike for anyone making a big fuss. So you can do that. However, if they are unwilling to bring your rate back down, then it's a good time to start shopping around, looking for a card with a lower interest than the one you currently have, and a solid interest one. But even with that, there's really no guarantees for the future, because no matter how big the name of these companies are, they're all involved in these practices nowadays. And with the banking crisis that is happening, more and more of this is to be expected as a way to offset their losses. So never forget that credit card companies can switch rates on you at any time they want, because they're in the business of lifting money out of your pocket, as much money as they can. One thing it is possible for you to do, but you have to be very careful, and we'll go over some of the rules for this, is to get your high-paying credit card interest rates onto credit cards that are promising a much lower introductory rate for a specific period of time. Challenge is, once those low introductory rates disappear, should you switch again? How long is that going to take? What is it going to cost you? And really the answer is that it depends. So we have to look carefully at this to see if this is the kind of activity you should get into on a regular basis. And once again, we have a self-test. Can this kind of credit card maneuvering save you money? So here is a yes or no test. So answer yes or no. Will it take you 6 months or more to pay off your debt? Yes or no. Are you paying more than 12% on a large part of your debt? Yes or no. Will you commit the time to read all terms and conditions carefully before you shift to a low interest credit card? Yes or no. Will you commit to making your payment on time every single month, no matter what? Yes or no. Will you commit to double checking your interest rate every single month? That's an important one. Yes or no. Will you commit to keeping the detailed records on how much money you transferred when you transferred it and how much you have paid? So that's yes or no. Are you willing to stand up for yourself if the credit card company charges you with the wrong amount and to back yourself up with copies of all your records? Yes or no. And finally, will you stick with your commitment not to add any new credit card debt? And that's yes or no. And if you answered yes to every question, then this kind of activity can save you money. But if you answered no to any of the questions, then just don't go there. The risks aren't worth it. The reason these companies are putting out low interest and no interest cards is not because they're trying to save you money. They issue these cards because they know that people who switch balances usually aren't very careful, and they inevitably end up spending a lot more money on the credit card when the interest rates shift upward. And they also hope that you will charge new purchases on that card, which many people do either intentionally or accidentally, and that low introductory rate does not apply for the new charges, and in fact you don't pay off the higher interest rate purchases until after you've paid off all of the lower interest rate purchases. And we will discuss this more next week and get into some of the difficulties and challenges in this kind of activity. And the final tip for the day is a thought from Henry Fielding. He said, "If you make money your God, it will plague you like the devil." This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.